We are now in the period of the Easter season when we are reading from selections from Jesus' words at the Last Supper, from the chapters in John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, where Jesus is using his last opportunity to teach the apostles all about his mission. And as I said yesterday, the apostles didn't really understand much of what they were told, but they remembered it. And then after the resurrection and after Pentecost, they reflected on it. And that's what we're doing. So these words to the apostles are also words to us in the Easter season. These are very profound passages in John's Gospel. And today's Gospel is a great example of it. These are inexhaustible sources of insight into God and our relationship with him. Jesus starts out by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Meaning, he knows that our hearts are troubled and we're easily troubled. We're distressed, we're confused, we feel like we're lost, we don't know where we're going, we don't know why things happen the way they do. And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. Revealing that the answer to our troubles is Jesus himself, not the solution that we want, not the practical application. We want to know exactly how things can be sorted out, and Jesus doesn't give us that. He gives us himself. Faith in him is what makes it possible for us not to be troubled. And he goes on to reveal that he's prepared a place for us, and he will take us to that place. He will take us so that we can be with him. Of course, he's talking about eternal life. He's talking about union with the Father. And then he says, where I'm going, you know the way. One of the great things about these passages is the questions that the apostles ask in this gospel. It's Thomas, tomorrow we're going to hear Philip. They ask great questions, the very questions that we would like to ask. Thomas says, well, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Great question. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? This question launched me into a reflection on traveling. Maybe you do this sort of thing too, like how do you get from one place to another? And in the old days, remember, all of us are old enough probably to remember that we had to have a map, had to ask for directions. We didn't have GPS systems back then, and had to figure it out and had to ask people how to get from one place to another. Even now, as you know, if you follow the Google Maps or the Waze, it doesn't always work. You know, it takes you to a place where there's a gate. Google Maps says, well, just go straight, and there's a gate there, and you can't go through it. You have to go around, and then Google Maps says, well, no, turn right, turn left, and there's no right turn there, and all that sort of thing. So this idea of how to get where we're going is, even in our times, a bit of a challenge. But not long ago, it was a much bigger challenge, because we didn't know where we were, and we didn't know the ways. For some reason, I thought of the age of exploration. How did people get from Portugal to Manila? I mean, how did people get from Acapulco to Manila? I mean, how did they get across the Pacific, this sort of thing? One of the things they had, it's developed in the Middle Ages, was this navigational instrument they called the astrolabe. You ever heard of this astrolabe? I don't know exactly how it works. I've seen pictures of them, but it's like a metal disc of some kind. It has all these little etchings on it and little levers. And for somehow, the seafarers could pick up this thing and point it at the stars or something, and they could figure out exactly where they were, exact longitude, latitude. And without that, there would be no way of knowing where they were. Now, in the age of exploration, they didn't know where they were going, right? They didn't know what they were going to find. They were going to explore. And you couldn't dare do a thing like that unless you had a way of knowing where you are right now. And without this astrolabe and some basic charts and a compass, that's even more ancient navigational tool, a compass from ancient times. But a compass by itself doesn't tell you where you are. It just tells you which direction you're going in. So anyway, this is what I was reflecting on this morning about how daring these explorers were to go places that they didn't know, and they trusted themselves to the navigational instruments and seeing the stars. Because the stars don't move. The sun and the moon, it's a little harder, but the stars, they're fixed points. As I was reflecting on this, I was out walking, and around the corner came this young woman, or maybe woman in her 20s probably, carrying a big backpack, obviously weighed down, and a big bag. And right next to her was a little child, about this tall. I could barely walk, must have been 2 years old, and she was wearing her little pink backpack. So I could see this mother and daughter. I maybe came in from the province or something, and they walked around the corner. And that caught my eye. First of all, the kid was very cute. I mean, this little girl walking along with her backpack. And maybe they just got off the tricycle, because there's no way they could be walking very far. First of all, the woman couldn't carry that weight very far, and the child couldn't walk very far. So I'm assuming they got off a tricycle maybe at the Italia 500 gate and walked in. Well, the child is fascinated with her little world. I mean, she sees that there's an orange cone there near that bicycle rack. She's taller than she was, and she's tipping over the cone, and she's picking out rocks, and there's all those mangoes that fell off the tree there near the sisters. And she's just exploring, and the mother, very patiently letting the child do her thing, I suppose, and she put her bag down and watched the child for a little while. Eventually, she told the child, okay, now we have to go. But I was fascinated by that child, because that child is not troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. She was not troubled at all. She didn't care where she was going. She didn't care where she would get her next meal. She didn't care how much money she had. She had nothing in that little pink backpack. She was just living in the moment and exploring the present scene. The orange cone, the rocks on the ground, the mangoes, and whatever other thing might attract her attention in the moment. And she's perfectly at peace doing that. Nope, not a care in the world, as little children can be. They just do what they're doing. They're not thinking about what's happening next. What makes it possible for that little girl to live like that is the presence of her mother right next to her, carrying all her stuff and watching over her and leading her to her destination. If that mother kept walking and the child lost sight of her, you know what would happen to that child? She would panic. She doesn't know where she is. She doesn't know anyone, and she has no way of figuring out, and she's lost. She could be lost in 5 seconds. As soon as the mother was out of sight, that child's lost. Okay, I don't know who those people were. That just happened to be a scene passing as I was out exercising. But it came back to me as I reflected on the gospel again. Well, we're that child. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're doing. We get easily distracted by the passing moment. For us, it might not be an orange cone. It'll probably be something on social media, but something to distract us. How can we know? We don't even know where we're going. How can we know the way? How can we know the way? Yesterday, we had this reflection from Pope Francis on the virtue of prudence. Many of you were here. And he said, on paper, life is pretty easy. On paper, it's easy to get through life. But in reality, in the wind and the waves, it's not easy. We don't know where we're going, we don't know what's happening, and we don't know how to deal with the crisis of the moment, and we need the virtue of prudence to apply the principles to this circumstance and this moment. Okay, well, this idea that we're not knowing where we're going and not knowing where we are, and that little child, that brings me back to today's gospel. Thomas asks this question. We don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus gives the profound and beautiful answer. I am the way. I am the way. And the truth. And the life. And everything that you need to get to where you're going. Even if you don't know where you're going, and even if you don't know the way, and even if you don't know where you are right now, as long as you have me, you don't have to be troubled. Just like that little child. As long as she has her mother there, you don't have to worry about anything. That's us, and that's what Jesus is revealing. I'm the way. I'm the way. Stay close to me. keep your eyes fixed on me, follow me. Now, we know that on paper, that's very easy. I just said it. But in practice, it's difficult because some days are dark, some days are bright, sometimes it's windy, sometimes it's calm, sometimes we're very burdened. We can't help but be troubled because of the sorrowful events in our life. The answer is still the same, Jesus Christ. Now, as an example of how to live this way, we see Paul and his companions in Pisidia. Paul had never been to Pisidia before. He didn't know. Where's Pisidia? Antioch and Pisidia. Now, it was a long way from Jerusalem, and it was a long way from Rome. It was in the Roman Empire, and that's probably why there were roads there, because the Romans were great at roads and navigation. And Paul was a Roman citizen, so he could get around a little bit. But he comes to Antioch in Pisidia, and he's preaching in the synagogue, as we saw yesterday. This is the continuation of his preaching. Here's Paul out of his territory and being led by the Spirit. He doesn't really know where he's going tomorrow, but he knows he has Jesus Christ. And he knows this. He's responsible to make Jesus known wherever he's sent. It's the classic description of a missionary. So he stands up in the synagogue and he's preaching about the fulfillment of the scriptures. The audience he's speaking to knows the scriptures. I mean, it's what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures. But they don't know the fulfillment of the scriptures. So Paul has to be the one to announce these scriptures, which you hear Sabbath after Sabbath, come to their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. What is he doing? He's giving these people the way, the truth, and the life. He's sharing with people who are still lost and in darkness, who have, they have the Old Testament, they have a few charts, but they don't know where it's leading. They don't know how it's going to be fulfilled, and their hearts are troubled. He's giving them the response, the answer to their problems, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. What God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is everything. And that's the good news that Paul is sharing with his audience. So here we are. We're pilgrims. We're pilgrims of hope. We don't know everything about the way. We don't know even how to get through one day. Not really. But we do know Jesus. And so we keep our eyes and our hearts fixed on him.